Dear listener, as this podcast has a cold and frozen theme to it, I am pleased to announce our special guest singing Let It Go from the movie Frozen. Take it away.
God, no, it's Shatner. He's even dressed like Elsa.
Oh my God, the cleavage.
Let it go. Let it go.
Oh, God.
Hello, Bryce, no. Like the Brick of Dawn.
No.
Let it go.
I saw this. You're killing it now.
My Shatner.
Look at the cleavage.
The perfect girl is gone. Here I stand in the light of day.
Look at the pokies.
Let the storm rage on. Yeah. The cold never bothered me. Anyway.
This was a good song once.
Welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Adam.
I'm just absolutely fascinated with what's going on the TV screen.
We have ink being dropped in water. And I am merely
alone.
Keith.
Keith is dead.
It reminds me of the ad breaks or things for Midsummer Murders.
Yes, on El Presidente's TV monitor in this room while we're sitting here, we've got these lovely black screen which is obviously water on it, and different coloured dyes being dropped in and swirling around like little... And it's ever so pretty, but very off-putting.
Anyway, dear listeners... Strange, very strange singing besides. It's the news with El Presidente.
Woo! Doctor Who!
Oh yeah, hurrah!
Additional companion is now official. It has been a good few weeks since location shoots revealed a new companion, but now RTD2 has officially welcomed Vashna Narada. Varada Sethu to the current TARDIS team. Speculation had this unnamed companion as taking over for Millie Gibson, Ruby Sunday. And maybe she ultimately will, but for now we can expect Chutigat to our 15th Doctor to have them both together.
Okay.
Sethu said of her predicament...
It is such an honour to be part of the Whoniverse, and I'm so grateful to the whole Doctor Who family, because that is what they are, for welcoming me with open arms and other appendages, and making me feel so at home. I couldn't ask for a better team than Shooty and Millie to be on this adventure with. This is so much fun.
RTD2 said of her,
It is a joy to welcome her on board the TARDIS. Right now in the studio, shooting for 2025. We've got Shooty, Millie and Varada fighting side by side. We need all three.
Get the stick.
Quick, poke him. Wakey.
Bondage. Because the stakes are higher than ever.
Yeah, so they put out a photo with the three of them together.
Yeah.
And apparently Millie Gibson has been back and recording more.
Yeah.
Is there a gap? Is she not there for an episode or two? Or has she just been there all along and just hasn't been on that particular location day?
Yeah, it may have been she wasn't needed for those couple of days on that location.
Yeah.
If they've done what they used to do with companions and shove one of them in one place and one of them in another place.
It's a possibility.
It's a strong possibility.
We also, if it's anything like the original shoot, we had Doctor-free stories, companion-free stories.
Yeah.
This one may be, Millie may be doing something else in a Doctor-less
It depends. Story. I suppose it depends on how much of a sort of an overlap period there will be.
Also depends on what's happened to the character. I mean, it's all being set up for the character to be something more behind it. And it could be a bit like Amy disappeared out because she'd been kidnapped and was having the baby type thing, so she was missing because that was part of the character's journey in that story. So you could have, not saying she gets knocked up and ends up getting kidnapped, but you could have...
That was Amy's.
Yeah, but you could have, for some reason, she's in another aspect that doesn't require those
or
films.
Just as the more veteran companion of the type, she is off doing something of her own with the Doctor and and whatever Verada Sethu's character's called, off doing something together.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Time will tell.
And also shows that random rampant fan speculation and, oh, they're doing it all wrong yet again.
Oh, yeah, and how Millie Gibson is terrible to work with. They got rid of her.
Yeah.
Apparently not. At least, no, we got rid of her. Yeah. I can't speak for the other one.
Well, not yet, but...
Well, as the saying goes, all will come out in the wash.
Right.
Hopefully.
Star Trek!
Ooh. Across the Universe!
Strange fourth season, but Lower Decks, no more.
Which is a shame.
Mm. Things are in flux in the world of Star Trek, particularly for its current owner, Paramount. With the studio up for sale, money is tight, and that has created new and surprising casualties. Star Trek : Lower Decks has been cancelled.
Mm.
The animated comedy will end with its up-and-coming fifth season. Creator Mike McMahon and executive producer Alex Kurtzman put out a statement that included the following directed at the fans.
Finally, thank you for always being so creative and joyful, for filling convention halls and chanting Lower Decks. We remain hopeful that even beyond season 5, Mariner, Boimler, Tendi, Rutherford and the whole Cerritos crew will live on with new adventures.
There is better news for Strange New Worlds, as that will continue as the last series still standing. They are currently filming the third season, likely for early 2025. With Paramount Pictures' fate in the balance, time will tell what impact this has on the future of Star Trek.
So, how has Paramount ended up in this position? Because it's one of the big movie houses. Is it just spread itself too thin? Did it take the eye off the ball of making movies and go into realms that it
business? I think there was some bad business deals.
Yeah.
CBS joined Paramount and then was split off from Paramount and then joined Paramount again.
Yeah.
So there's been
millions, billions probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Some very bad, because they, I think it was CBS was the one that was in debt and Paramount has now inherited that debt.
So it's not so much that they've made bad movie choices and all the rest of it. It's more that someone's ego decided to get in the way of the bank balance and they played with more money than they had.
So Paramount's basically taken on a bad debt.
Yeah.
And a lot of their things haven't done very well. Star Trek's okay-ish, but it's not making a lot of money because Paramount Plus isn't doing very well.
Yeah.
Which is why they've hived off Prodigy and killed off Picard, effectively, and stuff like that. And film-wise, Dead Reckoning, the latest Mission Impossible, didn't do very well.
No.
Lost $100 million, probably.
Yeah, hasn't done as well as they would have liked.
They haven't become experts in one field or another.
It's also a knock-on effect, I think, of the pandemic. Films in general have, the box office have been sort of very, very low from what they were in 2019.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like Disney made a fortune either, but they can absorb the losses in ways that Paramount can't.
Also, you've got to take into account the recent strikes as well.
Yes.
As much as they don't like to admit it, that has hit film and TV companies quite badly.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap, cancelled.
Alas and alack.
Yes. Another series that is finishing before its time is NBC's recent Quantum Leap reboot continuation. The recent second season finished back in February, and now we hear that there will be no more leaping for Dr. Ben Song and friends. That second season was split in two, a consequence of the Hollywood strikes, with the last two episodes after it returned having a significantly lower viewership than before the break. The halving of viewers by the end of the season cannot have helped its chances.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Again, it's another one that didn't necessarily get a chance to find its feet. The strike kneecapped it, I think.
It seems to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there again, the continuation, it did have a bit of a checkered past. I mean, it was sort of cancelled after about sort of so many episodes. Then I think the studios had a change of heart. Yeah, then came along the strikes, and these strikes were a bit of a body blow to it, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure that NBC are doing particularly well either.
Mm. Yeah.
Being a traditional network.
Yeah.
And Peacock, isn't it? Their Peacock streaming service is not even available outside of America, I think. Mm. Tough times, tough times. Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
Shall I do this one? Big finish. Sapphire and Steel are back. And more Doctor Who. Mm. Those audio mongers at Big Finish have happier news for us with the return of their Sapphire and Steel audio series. Kind of. Given the recent loss of their Steel in the form of David Warner, and indeed the loss of Silver as David Collings, there are no immediate plans to make more episodes.
Aww.
Those that were made between 2005 and 2008 have long since been out of print, and Big Finish no longer had a license to sell them. This has apparently changed as they are coming back in download form. The virtual box set is available now for £20 for the first and third series, with 5 and 4 stories each, and £25 for the second, with 6 stories. The Diary of River Song series may have finished after 12 box sets, but you can never be sure you've seen the last of River. And so it is as we start a whole new series called The Death and Life of River Song. Set after her death and uploaded to the library mainframe, this apparently sees her downloaded to a new cloned body for more adventures. The first box set, dubbed Last Words, will be released in August and can be pre-ordered now, alongside with the currently unnamed second and third box set. In a few weeks' time, we will also hear Alice Kingston's River Song in a box set alongside Christopher Eccleston, Ninth Doctor, in his box set named Star-Crossed. There's a lot of box sets there. Going even further back into Doctor Who history, we have David Bradley returning for a new series of The First Doctor audios. This time he is officially called an Unbound Doctor, further freeing him from the existing First Doctor continuity. Mm. Producer David O'Mahony said of this,
"The Peter Cushing feature films of the 1960s were our stylistic inspiration here. The lighter tone, the spirit of high adventure, the true technicolor nature of the storytelling. We want all of these adventures to have that bank holiday or a Sunday afternoon feeling."
Bradley will once again be flanked by his Adventures in Space and Time castmates of Claudia Grant as Susan, Gemma Powell as Barbara, and Jamie Glover as Chesterton. Pre-orders are open now, but it won't be released until September of 2025.
Wow. That's a lot further ahead than the River Song box set.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting how they plan these, because I know the River Song box sets were recorded back in about January.
Yeah.
And the first one's out in August. Well, this presumably has just been recorded.
Yeah.
It's not out till September of next year.
Oh, blimey.
18 months' time. So
That's a long time, though, isn't it?
Odd scheduling. But,
I'll be interested to see who's going to be cast as Sapphire and Steel, though.
I don't think they're making new ones, although they might yet.
It's a shame. They've laid the groundwork in the old series to cast new actors, so they can quite easily do it. I think they will leave it a little while as a mark of respect to David Warner and David Collins, but I can see them, and hopefully they will, return to Sapphire and Steel.
Well, it depends how well they sell as downloads.
Yeah, they've got the rights to remake them back.
Yeah.
Presumably they have the rights to do new ones as well as sell their existing ones, And these box sets, these virtual box sets, downloads, you get some behind-the-scenes stuff which you didn't get in the original CDs.
Yeah, because they were only just beginning to do the behind-the-scenes documentaries, which it seems to be a standard thing for the box sets now.
Who of the original cast is still alive?
What, Sapphire and Steel?
Joanna Lumley,
I mean, it's probably about it. I can't remember characters from particular episodes.
Yeah, I can't remember who played Lead, but I'm not sure if he's still alive.
I think he died a long time back.
Blimey. What about Gold?
Gold wasn't in the original TV series.
Ooh.
He was mentioned, but he wasn't actually played by anyone. Right.
Mm.
So Silver, clearly David Collins.
Mm-hmm.
The only elements we saw were Sapphire, Silver, Steel and Lead. A Jet was mentioned, and Gold was mentioned, but never seen.
I thought we saw Jet.
No.
No. Played by Lisa Barrowman.
No, that's Ruby.
Oh, it's Ruby, is it? Oh, okay, yes.
And so in the box sets, we've had Gold played by...
Mark Gatiss.
Because yeah. I have this vision. I don't know where I've got it from. I've got a vision in one of the last stories, the one with the house. Jet was literally this massive, great guy.
No, that's Led.
Yes, Led.
That was Led.
Yeah.
Oh, right,
that
okay.
was Led.
Yeah. It's confusing. Which you'll see, yes. The only problem with these is I've got them all on CD, bought them off from Big Finish directly.
Yeah.
But because I bought them so long ago, I don't get the downloads.
No.
It's a real pain.
So it's
same with a load of the Doctor Who stuff as well.
Coincidentally, it's what I'm listening to on my walk to work at the moment, is the Spock sets.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard them in years. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever listened to them.
They are good. Some of them are quite dark.
And
there's at least one, which is my favourite, which not only breaks the fourth wall, it blows it to pieces.
I think Sapphire is still like a lot of those kinds of things are at their best when they're slightly disconcerting.
Mm, yes.
So we have one more here.
Mm-hmm. Renewed. Fallout and For All Mankind, back for more.
Ooh, something's been renewed.
Yeah, also returning is Amazon's recent streaming hit, Fallout, having already been granted a second season mere weeks after the entire first season dropped. Fallout is based on the computer game series originally by Interplay and more recently Bethesda, and features a post-apocalyptic world ravaged by nuclear war and features a 1950s retro-futuristic design. The series is headed by British actor Ella Purnell, who also played regular Gwyndala in Star Trek : Prodigy. Also features the likes of Walter Goggins and Kyle MacLachlan.
I've seen the trailer, haven't got around to seeing it on Amazon yet. It's one of the ones I've got penciled down to catch. Yep. I've never actually played Fallout.
Mm. Oh, okay. I've played 3 and Vegas and I forget.
So I know of it and I know the general background to it, but never actually played it.
Yeah. Well, given the quick renewal, we might see the second season later next year. Over on Apple TV Plus, the alternative history space race series For All Mankind is getting a fifth season. The series started with the premise of what might have happened had the Russians got to the moon before the USA. Seasons then tended to jump out about a decade, the first covering the late 1960s to mid-70s, the second the mid-80s, third the mid-90s, and the recent fourth season in the mid-noughties. All this with the increasing use of old-age makeup for characters that have been in the space program for about 50 years now. Mm. Perhaps a way to get around this issue of aging characters is their spin-off series, concentrating on the Russian side of the story called Star City. Keep an eye on Apple TV Plus for both potentially next year.
Never seen any of that. I don't have Apple Plus.
It is pretty good, yeah. It just literally shows you behind the scenes of the American space program particularly and how they try to beat the Russians to the moon and fail in this particular timeline. Yeah. And then from there, the space race continues beyond that point. The first people to get moon base going, first people to get to Mars.
Yeah.
It carries on, so there's a lot more tech.
It doesn't stop at the moon.
So in the 90s, they're driving around electric cars, for example, because of tech has moved on much quicker than ours did.
Mm. I have an addendum.
Oh, yeah.
An addendum?
I do.
What is your addendum?
There's another streaming series coming back shortly on Netflix.
Ooh. Right.
I'm not sure what day they're going to show it. Hmm. It could be on a Wednesday.
Would this be a certain show about a teenage girl?
It could be. Wednesday season 2 has been officially announced. And we'll be coming to a Netflix streaming platform near you shortly.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
They announced it quite a while back, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it's recorded and you can heart it now on Netflix.
Oh, okay. I did enjoy series 1, I've got to
admit. Yeah, it's very good. Might finally get me to resub to Netflix. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's probably more than 9 months, which has been the point where they delete all your history and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've just got to start again.
Watch, is it cake?
Is it cake?
Have we had any other addendums?
I have.
That are not to do with roleplay games?
I have an addendum.
Oh, lay it on us.
The addendum is, of course, Run.
Run.
This weekend, this Sunday just gone, it was the London Marathon.
Yeah.
Which we had a runner for, big issue.
Right.
Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, I saw a picture of him, yeah.
Yes, he was in the in the London Marathon and has a little medal to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was running for Big Issue. So he has raised a lot of money. I don't know how much, but he has raised a lot of money for the magazine Big Issue.
Okay, for the homeless.
Yes.
A worthy cause.
Yes. I have another addendum, yep. If anyone doesn't.
No, carry on.
The original Enterprise has finally been returned at last.
Ah.
Okay, yep.
I think I mentioned it sometime last year. It appeared on eBay, mm-hmm, and then got removed. It has actually been handed over to the Roddenberry Estate.
Okay.
And they're going to renovate it and put it in a museum somewhere for everyone to see. There is a photograph of it, and I won't say it's looking in a sorry state, but it has been better.
Mm. Right. It's looking a bit threadbare.
By the time it's restored, it'll probably be about 10% original left.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it is sort of a yellowish grey at the moment because the paint's faded, and the warp pylons are sagging a little bit.
Gravity. It's not designed for gravity.
No. It is not designed for gravity.
Because they have got one in the Smithsonian.
They've got the 6-foot filming model.
Right.
This one is a 3-foot original prototype model.
Ooh.
That was actually built for the cage and then modified for filming, and spent most of its life on Roddenberry's desk until it was handed over to a production team for the 79th motion picture as a reference point, and then vanished.
Yes, never lend your stuff.
No.
Is that it?
I'm addendumed out.
That is the end of the news. Dear listeners, we've been watching a DVD. If you're feeling flush, a Blu-ray.
Mm. Actually, we've been watching iPlayer.
Oh, iPlayer. Yeah, I don't think it's on Blu-ray yet.
What have we been watching? It's been very cold.
Frozen.
Ice.
Yes, dear listeners, we've all been watching Doctor Who and the Ice Warriors.
Oh, pause for music. Okay, where was this filmed? Was it the Ealing Studios?
Partly Ealing, partly Lime Grove, I think they said.
Yeah, because comparing it to the Hartnells, which was, I think, done at Lime Grove, they have learnt a few lessons. I.e., most of it is an interior in the house, or most of it is at the ice face. Now, I remember Web Planet, and there was another, the Romans. You had the painted backdrop that gently drifted. They steered away from that.
Yeah. Some of it clearly was shot on film with Ealing.
Yeah.
Which is the ice caves and that stuff. Yeah,
the scenery was a lot more convincing. Anyway.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Right, what happens?
Well, we've got Second Doctor, Patrick Charlton, Jamie and Victoria.
Jamie and Victoria.
Yes. Fraser Hines, Deborah Watling.
They arrived during the new Ice Age, so a point in the near future as yet undecided.
Unknown, yes.
Just for anyone who sits there thinking, but, well, that's daft because we're in the middle of global warming. When this was filmed, global warming didn't exist. We were all going to be under ice by the time we got forward. It was the other side of the spectrum that everyone was worrying about.
Even saying that, it is mentioned that it is not global warming, but an environmental catastrophe that is man-made.
Oh, yeah. No, the environment, it was always going to be environment, but whereas now the Earth's warmed up, at that point in time, they all thought we were going to freeze to death.
Yeah, the carbon dioxide deficiency.
Which is
bizarre. Even the 60s would have thought, deficiency? But anyway.
You get the feeling this is somewhere in Europe, i.e. Britain, outpost.
If I remember rightly, according to the Target book, it was in Britain somewhere. It didn't necessarily say where, but it was in Britain.
You've got massive glaciers coming down.
And there's
what's about the planted something in the glaciers? They find a Viking warrior in the ice,
or so they think.
I need to point out a rather cavalier attitude of the guy in charge of the expedition, the mining,
the archaeologist.
The archaeologist. Yes. They find this figure in the ice. There's an ice quake, a crack opens up, and they lose one of their team members, and they're laughing and joking. They're having a good giggle.
Yeah.
They've just... Someone has just fallen to their death.
Yeah, and they're having a good chuckle about it afterwards.
A good chuckle about it.
There's always somebody who's unpopular, though, isn't it?
Yes, and there's the space or bases dotted around the world.
Yeah.
Trying to keep the glaciers at bay using, was it ionic energy?
Yeah, the ionisation.
Yes.
And a smart AI computer.
Mm, yes.
Into the middle of what, which turns up these three numpties.
Yeah.
I have to admit, as much as I love Wendy Padbury and we got on really well at conventions and I had lunch at her house
I know where you're going with this.
I could have strangled Victoria.
Oh my
God, does Vicky scream?
She screams, she moans and she whines. I think, if I remember rightly, Victoria appeared in a Big Finish.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it was one of the Lost stories Colin Baker. And the character isn't any different. I remember listening to that Big Finish and my heart plunging each time she was on.
Yeah.
She's not a very... I can understand Victoria, not a very adventurous character, and she only lasted one season, but I can understand why she wanted to get off.
Yes, but all this screaming, moaning and whining is overshadowed by Clint. Right. He can't speak in anything below a shout.
The chief of the scientists.
Yeah, he is. I find.
Well, he's not a scientist. He's more of an administrator.
He's an administrator.
Yeah, he's in charge of the science.
He's a pen. I found him an interesting character in the fact that he's a pen pusher who is completely swamped and over his head.
Oh, good.
And how
grief,
the hell he got that position?
Yeah,
he's got to be.
Computer gave him the job, probably.
Yeah,
but he's also
computer
got,
says
he
yes.
knows yeah, full well that if his what do you call it, like the station they're based on, if one of them fails, that's it. Earth's done for. The ice age, all the glaciers are going to come crashing down, and that's also got to put a little bit of stress on you.
But the trouble is, he's paralyzed by that stress.
He
won't do anything. Certainly without confirmation from the computer. He believes fully. And this it's an interesting side note that I noticed that Pat Troughton's doctor, the second doctor, is something of a computer phobe.
Yes.
It's this doctor and Pertwee's doctor, to a certain extent, are computer phobic. Yeah. Less so with Baker's doctor. And I think that is possibly because of the time period it was made. Computers are the new thing. They can change the life entirety and is possibly a potential threat because it can make everyone out of work.
Yeah.
People didn't have home computers at this time.
No.
So the computer was something to be feared.
That's it. And so that paranoia is slightly less in Baker's 70s.
I'm not so sure I'd call it, for me, point of view, I'm not sure so I'd say computer phobic, but more dismissive.
I'm willing to
say
the whole thing when he came in and it's 15.5. Well, if you don't do something in 2 minutes and 37 seconds, we run that through the computer. You have to run it through the kind of like effrontery of it.
Yes, it aren't precisely in 2 minutes and 37 seconds.
You're taking off.
Yes. So anyway, they defrost the Ice Warrior. The Ice Warrior gets umpty, grabs Victoria, who screams.
screams.
The whimpering too.
Yes,
By now, you would have thought she would have got used to all this.
Yeah.
It drags her off because there are other ice
warriors. Yes, he has to go and rescue his crew. Ice Warrior.
Yes, and the chief ice warrior is played by Bernard Breslau in his Carry On days.
Yes, Varga. The chief one. Yeah, they've all got names.
You can just about hear his voice in it.
Okay.
Yeah, once you know which one he is, you can just about make out.
He's the one who came up with the way they speak.
He basically
created the Ice Warriors in a way.
Yeah, it was written down, but he's the one who literally brought it to life.
Yeah.
Also, you've got the scientist who knew how to make everything work, who basically abandoned ship. Became a scavenger.
Yeah.
And he's
an inventor in later life.
Yeah, and he's out there in the wilderness with...
He likes cheese.
God, who was the other scavenger?
Gromit.
The reason why we're having these Wallace and Gromit jokes is because Penley is played by
Peter Salas,
who was the voice of Wallace.
Yeah, for Wallace and Gromit.
He was also the face of one of the Last of the Summer Wine characters, which is
pretty much the entire run, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the only one in it.
X amount of years.
Which one was he? Clegg? Clegg, that's
yeah.
right.
Oh. I didn't equate him as a dramatic actor. No. He was a comedy actor. Into my, this is quite different for him.
The other scavenger he's with is Storr.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Mm.
Who I just kept sitting there looking at going, he's going to be playing his bagpipes in the loft soon because he's in Terror of the Zygons.
He's the landlord.
The landlord. Not that they reused cast members at all.
No.
So he's an actual scavenger. So you get the feeling society is completely broken down by this time.
As soon as I saw that scavenger, I imagined him running towards the camera and saying, "It's."
Yes. Well, it was a bit caveman-esque.
Right, that's it. I mean, quite ironically, I can see that character quite easily fitting in today with the anti-vaxxers and flat earthers. And
he hated scientists. He hated it. It's all scientists' fault.
He's against the scientists.
He's against the scientists and
scientists
all the
rest are of destroying the world.
But this was 6 episodes to basically get an Ice Warrior defrosted, the rest of the Ice Warriors defrosted, realise that you've got to find out what fuels their ship.
Reactor.
Because
if
it's the wrong kind of reactor, it could go kaboom when they activate the device. To stop the ice. It was a bit of lots of chasing each other around mountains and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It is escape, capture, which Early Who used to suffer a lot from.
That six-parter too. Yeah.
That is why, one of the reasons I watched it on YouTube, one episode a day. I watched it on iPlayer, one episode a day, not in a big chunk.
I did it in three chunks.
I did it in two chunks of three.
No. I'm a sad-o, I did it in one lot. I can do these in one lot without too much problem. I thought the best bits of it were the interactions in the actual control room. Yeah. I mean, it's lovely to see the Ice Warriors and that kind of
funky
stuff.
Funky outfits.
But the fact that you've got the second in command, the lady...
Yeah.
Who's
Miss Garrett.
Miss Garrett.
Yes.
And she starts to question the computer. Mm. Everything, nothing can be done till the computer confirms it.
Yeah.
Mm. They literally have become paralysed by it.
Yeah.
And she starts to proffer the idea that, well, it's told us all to hold because either we do the action, it goes kaboom and it dies, or we don't do... It's self-preservation.
Yeah, the computer can't.
The computer can't destroy itself. It's all,
if they do nothing, the ice crushes the base.
Yep.
Yeah. If they do something, it could explode with a nuclear force and radiation fallout could wipe out life in this sector.
But there again, if the glacier was to advance on the base where they were and the walls and the ceilings came crashing down, at least they would be protected by those pieces of plastic they all had on their heads.
Weird sunglasses.
But you had that thing where, and then the doctor comes in and basically has a go at them that you're being paralysed by this.
Yeah.
And then eventually the computer loses its little tiny processing brain cells and spins itself uncontrollably into hysteria.
Voiced by, was it Roy Skelton?
It was. Roy Skelton, yeah. And there was literally, somebody said, the computer says no. There was literally that line.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if Little Britain got that from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
But it's interesting to see the origins of the Ice Warriors.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Bit of a retread since then. Thin in Who. Mm.
Thin Ice was more or less a little bit tighter, but more or less the same
thin
story.
It's also interesting, which I quite liked in the one where we had the Ice Warrior on his own on the warship.
Thin Ice.
No.
That's the one with the thing on the Thames.
Yeah.
Cold War. Yep. So I beg humble forgiveness.
In this one, the doctor says, well, he's wearing a spacesuit.
Yeah.
The fact they laid the ground, so actually, this isn't what Ice Warriors look like. This is just the armour on the outside.
Yeah, the
which you never then get explored until you had that Matt Smith story.
I think it was explored in a few of the Virgin books, but they're they're not necessarily canon. Yeah.
For those of us that haven't read the books and listen to every big finish,
I think it was in the show notes. I seem to remember reading somewhere that they would have mechanical bits and pieces under the armour. But of course, that was too much money, so it got cut.
Yeah.
But it was always there. That was always the idea.
But in this, they've actually said, this is armour.
Yeah.
So it's not that they've got an exoskeleton.
Yeah.
There's actually inside of this, there is something else, a living creature. Which I thought was, it was quite interesting that, that foundation was laid there very early on. It would have been very easy to say, oh, this is actually the creature. It's it's not wearing armour. It just happens to have scales all over it like a dinosaur and what have you.
I think the Target book mentioned that, what is it, Varga was a marshal. But he had a slightly better refined armour than the other Ice Warriors.
Yeah. The two of them had good armour, and then two of them got two shonky helmets.
Were background people.
Which apparently were the original helmets. Yeah. They did some filming in Ealing first the big helmets, and it just didn't work, which is why they redesigned it.
What episode did the Ice Lords come in?
Well, as I said, the Ice Lords... are mentioned as marshals, and I think it was Seeds of Death was the first time there. So to my mind, all the armour is like Ice Warrior armour, but the Ice Lords are the dress armour, dress uniform.
Yeah, I can buy that.
You know, that's the
like sergeants and corporals. Yeah. And you've got your flashes and whatever to distinguish.
So Varga from the Ice Warriors, and I can't remember the name of the guy from Cold War, are the type of military people who lead their armies from the front.
They're in fatigues.
They're down on the ground with them. While the Ice Warriors from the Ice Lords from Seeds of Death and the Peladon stories are sort of the refined. Yes, you go and do that. We'll sit in the tent and
fighting
drink tea.
They're leading from the rear. Mind you, one thing I didn't notice about the two animated episodes. Fair dues to the animators, they did a sterling job.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in some scenes, I mean, you couldn't quite see the mouths of the Ice Warriors, so it looked like the bit that's not covering their mouth, it looked like they had big cheesy grins on their faces.
Yeah. Did a good job. I didn't expect the animation. I didn't look at the back of the box or anything. I just watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, proper live action.
Yeah.
And suddenly it goes to animation. Oh, okay. Mm. How many animated? It's only two.
This is the period where they would only animate what they needed to animate. Whereas these days, I think more of it's missing, so they animate everything.
Yes.
The animation wasn't too bad.
Animation was quite very good.
I quite liked the fact, I normally watch the colour, widescreen animation.
Yeah.
Here they did black and white, 4x3, and it actually worked really well.
Yeah, I think it would have jarred if they suddenly put two colour animations in between the black and white.
It jarred a bit, swapping from live action to animation, but it would jar a hell of a lot more.
If it had been colour.
Mm. Yeah.
I think there's that thing of, I was saying to someone the other day about watching it, I said, when you're watching live action and you get the animation in the middle of it, it jars with you slightly.
Mm, only a little bit.
But if you were watching it entirely as animation, your brain goes into accepting this is animation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
No, I quite
like the fact we're lucky that the first episode is there, so you get to know them as their live action counterpart. Yeah. Then you recognise them a bit easier in animated form, I think.
Yeah. In animated form, it works a lot better than the current or the recent animations.
Yeah, well, you mean it actually looks like them?
We're still waiting for a Celestial Toy Maker, aren't we? Which is delayed.
From what I've seen of the trailers, no.
I've seen Celestial Toy Maker and it's hard pushed to actually recognise who anyone is.
Okay. That was quite a long time ago at the BFI event.
Yes,
it's,
I know.
It's a big gap, so I think maybe they've been reworking a tad. I don't know.
Well, changing the subject slightly, when we actually saw it at the BFI, Marquez literally received the first episode, because they gave it to... He'd had episode 4, 3 and 2 or whatever it was, but episode 1 was the last one to be sent, and he was literally doing the music over it for the BFI at sort of like 2 o'clock on the Friday night.
Yeah, I know it wasn't quite complete, the version you saw.
And there was bits that said, this is not... not screen ready and what have you. Yeah. There were some weird bits, but
it doesn't explain quite the big gap there has been, so I don't know. Anyway, way off topic.
We're not going to go on my crusade. We need to address this.
I like the Ice Warriors.
I used to get them both mixed up when I was younger.
Easier in black and white, I think.
Yeah.
I can understand why they haven't been used so much, because they are quite slow and not cumbersome, but they... Well, you know,
particularly in this version, they are.
Yeah, the speech patterns. Yeah, and the speech patterns as
That's
well.
That's it. And I think it's interesting because they're one of the few aliens that have been portrayed as both villains and good
and
guys.
Good guys.
Yeah.
Pretty much the only ones, possibly, I don't know.
Because in Peladon, they were the good guys.
Yeah.
But we'd all been set up by the fact that they're the bad guy.
Yeah,
but in this, they're not really the bad guys.
They're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
They are cast as the villains simply because...
They're trying to survive.
Trying to survive, yeah.
Well, you can't just portray them in shades of black and white.
Yeah.
Well, no pun intended.
Yeah. They are a grey culture.
Oh, good grief, yeah.
As we've seen them as villains, and we've seen them as the good guys. So I mean, there's a wide gamut there.
All they want to do is just get back to Mars, and that's it, mate. Yeah.
There was certainly time enough in this six-parter to make more of them than they did.
Yeah.
Which is often a problem with Classic Who. Mm.
Yes.
You don't come away with much understanding of who they are as a people. They're just...
Yes and no, because it's the old 25-minute format.
Yeah.
We get out of one crisis cliffhanger to slip to set up and get into the next cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So there's only a very limited amount of time for exposition and character.
Maybe.
I would say if anyone hasn't watched it, it is on, for those in the UK, you can get it on BBC iPlayer.
Mm-hmm.
Other sources, I'm sure, around the world. It's been on VHS.
It's on DVD.
And it's on DVD.
The VHS wouldn't have been complete, but yeah.
No. It is worth watching, particularly if you like Pat Troughton's era. It's one of the ones where he's well into his stride as the Doctor.
But, I think it's a shame that it doesn't carry over into the animation because you can't see it. But there was some wonderful playing around and getting out of the TARDIS.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Climbing on Patrick's hand and him screaming and shouting because Jamie's kneeling on his hand.
In fact, the TARDIS lands on its back, like 11th Hour.
Yeah.
Like 11th Hour, the doors open outwards.
Mm. Yeah.
I assume Moffat did a deliberate homage to this.
But I think it is worth watching. You could be a sadist like me and watch it all in one
watch go. Watch it one episode a day.
Or
that's
you could watch it like it was meant, one episode a day.
One a week.
Or maybe two in a day,
Maybe two. But, morning and evening.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as a sequel. I think Seas of Death is a better story.
More
interesting with all the T-Mat stuff going on. All that.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Obviously, Brian Howes, again, I think, did both of them. A similar thing where you had the computer and Earth under threat.
The Earth has abandoned something that is vital to it, but the workaround breaks down, so they've got to go back to it.
Also, it helps that perhaps that... I think it was my first Second Doctor story on VHS. Was it the first one released?
I think so.
I think it might have
been. I do seem to remember, because it's all there.
It was one of the few ones that was all there.
The Second Doctor is pretty rare, unfortunately. Mm. So I have a history with that one back to the 80s.
So if you've watched Ice Warriors, or you watch it before the next podcast, why don't you let us know what you thought of the Ice Warriors by emailing us at show@staggeringstories.net.
Let me just think that Penley was Penry, a mild-mannered scientist.
Oh, dear.
Okay, quiz time then.
Oh,
woo.
For sake of anything better, there's a quiz here. I don't know from when, on radiotimes.com. A general sci-fi quiz is pretty easy.
Do you know us?
Okay then, are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah,
lay it on us.
Number one then. Which character speaks the first line in the original 1977 Star Wars?
3PO?
It is C-3PO. Mm. Is it shut down the main reactor? Is that the first line? I can't remember.
Yeah, they shut down the main reactor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Captain James T. Kirk is the most famous captain of the USS Enterprise in Star Trek.
Yes.
Arguable. Some might say Picard. But who had the job for him in the TV series?
Christopher Pike.
Indeed, an easy one now. When Doctor Who came back to TV in 2005, it filmed under a secret code name. What was that code?
Torchwood.
Yeah, again, very easy.
Give that one to Jean. She had her hand up first.
Which animated cartoon character has a catchphrase of Wubba Lubba Dub Dub?
Grandpa.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. Not so blunt. Rick Sanchez.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Which apparently is in the Birdman people I'm in pain, please help me.
Okay. Which of these four Marvel movie characters was not recast in a later film? Red Skull, General Thunderbolt Ross, Bruce Banner, a.k.a. the Hulk, James Rhodes, a.k.a. the War Machine. Which one was not recast?
Well, I'd say Red Skull.
I would say Thunderbolt Ross, but the actor has recently died and is now being recast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But this was done before that.
Yeah, indeed, they do claim Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
Played by William Hurt all the way through.
Yeah.
Well,
Harrison Ford now, isn't it? I think it's Harrison Ford now, but he hasn't actually made it to a movie, to my knowledge. I think he's been recast, but they haven't done the film yet.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to Harrison Ford, but yeah.
But the character is meant to be exceedingly grumpy, which Harrison Ford has a reputation for.
Is, but there is also an age element to this, and films are not that quick to make.
They might be recasting again quite soon.
Who was it who played Red Skull in the... he played Elrond in a...
He did.
Special
he played
Smith.
Elrond and Agent Smith. Yeah. So, yeah.
Vendetta.
I'm quite sure people out there
will tell
us. It'll
come to me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Sit bolt upright, screaming a name. And fake Crumbly will go, pardon?
Hugo Weaving.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving, yeah, indeed. Okay, then. What is the superhero alter ego of the character Billy Batson?
Shazam!
I didn't even know that one.
No, I didn't know.
It is indeed Shazam, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, confusingly.
Yeah, not that Captain Marvel. Yeah. It was a Captain Marvel.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, in the BBC TV series Merlin, who played Merlin? A trickier one.
Something Murphy.
Yeah, I can see the guy's face.
Yeah, because it was the first in a who. Nah.
Give up.
Yeah.
Colin Morgan.
Morgan, not Murphy. Mm-hmm. I knew it began with M.
Okay, then, number eight, then. In Game of Thrones, what is the name of Westeros' capital city?
If only fake Keith was here.
Yeah. You'll know it when you hear it.
Westeros?
It's the capital city of Westeros.
So no. The Red City?
No.
That was King's Landing.
You know one of your doors just closed upstairs? Mm. Have you got a ghost?
There is a window open.
Yeah.
Okay. What was Hermione's original surname in J.K. Rowling's early notes for Harry Potter books?
Longbottom?
No.
Puckle.
P-U-C-K-L-E.
Puckle.
Puckle, okay. Not Granger. Hermione Puckle.
Mm. Okay.
And finally then, number 10. Name one Isaac Asimov's three rules of robotics.
The first one.
Well, I'll name the second one then. You name the third one.
A robot
by action or inaction. Yeah,
A robot may not harm a human through inaction or
action.
Yeah, allow a human being to come to harm.
Yeah. Robots may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm.
That's it.
Yeah. Then they must obey all orders given by a human being, etc.
And a robot must protect its own existence.
Unless it contravenes the first two laws.
Yeah, there we go. A couple there are interesting, but mostly pretty easy.
Puckle.
Puckle, yeah. Quite like that, actually. A bit more interesting Granger, isn't it, I think?
Mm.
There we go.
And not to be confused with... No, what's it?
Okay. We have been watching a film.
Oh, have been. Ooh. Back to the cinema.
Back to the cinema.
The movie theatre, as some may call it.
Motion Picture House.
Yes.
And what have we been watching?
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
Frozen Empire.
Who are you going to call? This one is divided opinion. Most of the critics seem to really hate it.
What?
I haven't watched any of their critiques.
Okay.
I might agree with that. Yeah. I might not. I didn't want to ruin it. My own feelings on it.
The last one I was not necessarily critical about, but harsh
Afterlife.
About.
Afterlife.
Afterlife. I thought it was weaponized nostalgia. It was Ghostbusters 1, Part 2. There was no real story to it.
Okay.
This one, both me and Fake Keith watched on Sunday and loved.
It
is a whole entity by itself with highs and lows and great bits.
Yeah, so myself and Fake Crumbly saw it last Saturday. Yeah, we thoroughly enjoyed it.
I felt it
very much was in keeping of the first one. The only thing I was missing is it's Ghostbusters. It's in New York.
Mm. Yep.
Where's Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, she was in it.
And Lewis Tully.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's retired acting, Mr. Tully.
Quite a while back now.
Yeah.
He has started to reappear, but he's not really got back to anything serious. But yeah, this is the first we haven't had with Dana.
Yeah.
For the entire run, not counting the reboot.
Yeah.
But this is in New York, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that the premise for them getting them back there is that they've inherited the fire station.
Sort of, yes.
That's a nice way of getting them off of the farm and actually into New York.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all set up at the end of the last film.
Yeah.
Winston bankrolling them.
Yeah, but it continues and it's very briefly recapped.
Yes.
It's very, very brief. I think there's a couple of lines to explain what's going on.
Yeah, there's a bit of film footage as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Even including quite a nice toy advert for Ghostbusters toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showing the old ghost trap, which I've got. I've got a box.
You just rediscovered, did you?
Yeah, I've got a box one of those. If anybody wants to make an offer.
Oh, dear.
The box is probably worth more than the ghost trap.
Yeah.
But
Palatoy or whatever it was.
What I liked about this one, it came a nice balance. You had a few little homages to the past with Slimer and
Slimer's back.
A few other bits, but it didn't dominate. Whereas the last one, the tips to the hat dominated over the story.
Mm. Where the last one, you had the villain from the first Ghostbusters film coming back.
We're not going that one.
This one is a whole new villain.
Yeah, it's a nice few little tips to the hat that didn't interfere with the main story.
Oh, no.
Everyone had motivation. Mm. There was quite a few new recognisable faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I point out to James Acaster, who seems to be doing fairly well for himself.
Seems to be. I know the name.
He's a British comedian.
I know he is.
He's appeared on quite a few power shows.
He's on 8 at 10 Cats. He used to do.
He's done Taskmaster.
Have I got news for you?
So certainly in this country, he's a recognisable face who I didn't expect to be in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he plays it seriously and well.
And it's nice to see Peter Venkman's nemesis, Walter Peck, is now mayor of New York City.
Still trying to close him down.
Yep.
And in the crowd scene, I don't know whether you heard, someone shouted out, "Hey, Dickless."
They did. Mm. Yeah. Nice callback.
This one, it's true. He has no dick. You've got two storylines running, which coincide with each other.
Yeah, they dovetail.
But they are quite interesting. The fact that you've been putting all these ghosts in a hole.
Yes.
In a wall.
For the past.
And has it reached its capacity point? Mm. And then you've got this big, nasty, interdimensional villain that wants to take over the world and he needs souls to do it. Mm. Just handy, he's got a whole load of them crammed into a hole in the wall.
Yeah, but there again, the hypothetical hole in the wall, it's like the old question. Obviously, sort of ghosts are sort of massless beings. So you could hypothetically get an infinite number in there.
Well, they are made up of particles, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's a number of particles.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing on the head of a pin.
Yeah, it's like the old question, sort of how many angels can you get dancing on the head of a pin? Yeah.
But I thought there were some interesting bits in it. I liked Phoebe's, she's grounded, she goes off and plays chess.
Yeah.
And the ghost plays chess with her.
Square park. Been there?
Yes, we have.
I think there was a couple of shots where I was sitting there thinking, that's actually where we went. I got the feeling there was an undertone suggesting that she had set the fire.
Oh, Mandy, yes.
Yeah.
Mandy.
I don't think she did, but there was that. I'm not sure it's deliberate. Feeling.
Yeah, I don't think it was the deliberately set fire, but I think it was her fault, accidentally.
Yes.
Mm, yeah. That's the impression you get, anyway.
Yeah, they don't come out and say it, the matchbox.
Still here to serve a purpose, and then she can move on.
Spoiler music.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
I like the fact that the whole thing with her playing with the matches is a MacGuffin, but you don't spot it because they put it into her backstory.
Again, it's a beautiful Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
You show it in the first act, use it in the third act.
And then throughout, we've got the Firemaster.
Yeah.
Next purpose is that they work together, but you don't think of it until...
No.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that Phoebe is also written... She's super intelligent, but she is human. She makes mistakes.
Mm. Oh, good. Mm.
She's a nice, rounded character, and she learns and grows from that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like you mentioning the Firemaster. Again, that is the tip of the hat to to the original film with the gatekeeper and the keymaster.
In this case, the fire master there to stop the ghost. Ancient Ghostbusters, effectively.
Yeah. It was almost like a combination of the two, in that you had the painting come into life, which is similar to the one we had before.
Ghostbusters 2.
But you also get elements of the Ghostbusters 1 coming through as well.
Well, this is it. I'm sorry to harp on about it, but I didn't notice those. I was in the moment and enjoyed the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas with the last one, I wasn't and noticed all the weaponized nostalgia.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed Afterlife, but I was carried along more on the story this one. And
I think, in this one.
Yeah, if I went and saw it a second time, or when I see it a second time on telly or what have you, I think I'm going to spot a lot more of the Easter eggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are quite a few references to Ghostbusters 2 in particular in this one. Because there are very few in the afterlife.
Yeah.
To the point where people were asking, did it happen?
Yeah. I was too busy enjoying the story.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It was a full, proper, constructed story, which took me along with it.
And a couple of scenes that did make me laugh out loud was, firstly, the fact that Slimer has made a nest of her sort of
candy
sweet wrappers and sort of crisp packets up in the loft of the fire station.
Cheetos.
Yeah. It's when he pulled the trail of Cheetos. I'm just thinking, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Sorry.
And in the New York Public Library, the original ghost from the original movie.
The first ghost.
Yeah. And the guy who says he can't come in, he's also the guy from the original film.
Yeah.
I like in the opening when they're chasing down the dragon and you've got the police officers. Mm. Shall we go? No, they got it.
They're known.
I did like the possession ghost.
Oh, the little
red bolt of lightning.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially where it leapt into the pizza.
And
the piece started flopping
about and slimy comes up and eats it.
I also like in this how they've expanded their current lives, what they do, you know, the TV, the running of the shop, the investment.
Mm-hmm. The old guard have moved on.
That's
but still,
they're still involved.
Yeah.
But they're not trying to be 25 year olds. And then even when they put the packs on, it's like 12 for this kind of stuff.
Golden years.
But the avenues that they've gone down also suit the characters. Yeah,
they are now support staff rather than front line.
But the fact that one of them becomes sort of like a hokum TV spiritualist and the other one actually is still a scientist.
Yeah.
They match what those characters would have ended up getting into.
Ray is a major character in this. He gets a lot of screen time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the only one who really does.
The other cough and a spit.
Yeah. Winston's there a bit more. He's bankrolling it.
Yeah.
He shows them the new lab.
The new construction, the new research labs.
And Venkman's only in a couple of bits, really.
Probably that's all they could get him to do.
Maybe, yeah. He seems to be coming in as a consultant.
Yeah.
He does the interview with the Firemaster.
And pens.
Pens in here.
No, I enjoyed this.
It's good. And also, like the first one, it very much centres on Phoebe, really.
Yeah.
She's the central character, although you wouldn't know it from the posters. And she's also fourth billed, I think, in the credits.
So. Yeah.
But it's clearly her film.
Yes.
She's
central to the plot and everything pivots around her.
Yeah, that she's 15 and, as Peck says, you're not old enough to work.
Yeah, not a child, not an adult yet.
Mm. Yeah, whereas Trevor is now 18, apparently.
18, and that was a wonderful line. There's something up in the loft. You're an adult now, up you go.
Yeah, typical teenager finds a leaky hole, sticks his finger in.
Yeah.
And there's slime.
Leaky, gooey hole.
Yeah, stick something in it, why not?
And the fact that Janine gets to wear her
Yeah.
Janine's there a couple of times too,
it's a good romp.
Yeah.
And I think the nice thing with it is, even if you haven't seen the other Ghostbusters, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter with this one.
It's a bit like Ghostbusters 2. You didn't have to see Ghostbusters 1 to get Ghostbusters 2. You don't have to see Afterlife to get this.
Mm-hmm.
It follows on, but stands alone.
Spoiler music, Sha-la-la-la-la. The ending leaves it wide open for another sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hope they get one, but it's really struggling at the box office. It's not done as well as the previous one and cost a bit more, so.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It does deserve another one.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
At least for my mind. if they had to have a criticism, it would be that there are too many characters now.
Mm.
Mm.
They bring back Podcast and Lucky.
Yeah.
But didn't really need
to. Doesn't affect. We could have done without them.
Yeah. To bring them from Oklahoma is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
There is some extras in there that I quite like.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't serve a big purpose, but I think they made the film.
Sure.
The mini puffs.
Particularly at the end scene, the Stay Puft mini marshmallow men. Stealing the van.
I do like the fact whenever the orb was brought out, it attracts ghosts, so they're immediately, their attention is on it.
First of all, they were frightened of it,
They were frightened.
They were, until Garaka's influence
took them over
in some way, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole concept being that Garaka can control ghosts, but not people.
Hence the finalegan with Mandy and Phoebe. Melody and Phoebe.
And then we have the bit with Phoebe actually leaving her body.
Dying, effectively.
Her body's still alive, it's still connected to her spirit.
Yeah.
Which is how Garaka managed to get her body to speak the words which it needed. It starts off in 1904, I think.
Yes.
The ghost call.
The firehouse,
as it was in 1904.
And somehow this Manhattan Adventurous Society had
got hold of the
managed
globe.
To open up the Devil's Testicle, or whatever it is, Podcast called it. I don't know how they did that, because they had a cylinder.
A cylinder with a charm.
Where did they get that from? This is an ancient dead language.
They had the lady as well, because you had
She came in afterwards to recapture Garaka, Firemaster.
Perhaps they got it written down and got him to chant, record the chanting outside the purview of the orb.
Oh, yeah,
and
then they recorded beforehand. Yeah,
and then they played them together, and that's what released it. But
that could have done more explanation.
In
this day and age, they don't do tie-in books anymore, which is a shame.
I don't know. I mean, it's that time of exploration. They go into another country, they nick something because it looks shiny and bring it back, and that kind of... There's still a touch of that going on then.
How far back do you go to explain things? It's there. They had it. That's all you need to know.
Like us and having the orb, sure.
Yeah.
But it's a dead language required to open the orb.
They had it. You don't need to know. All you need to know is they had it.
Yeah.
And when it came to his shop, he recognised it and he found the book and it was in it is about what happened. So maybe they had an ancient book that told them, they were a bit of an explorers club, so they might have interviewed
It was at the old library with the big book that folded out.
We didn't even mention him, did we?
Yeah. Patterson Oldthwaite.
So another character, a lot of characters. But really
not everything needs a creation story anymore. Sometimes things just happen.
It just left me wondering what happened in that opening scene. You only see the end effects.
That's all you need to know.
It got cold.
It's called starting in media res.
Yeah.
It's the same with nearly every Bond film and nearly every Star Wars film. Starts in the middle of the adventure or the middle of the previous adventure. You don't need to know what has happened.
How did they get on that spaceship? Yeah. Why did they get on
the... Needed a crawl at the beginning explaining it all.
Just starts where it is.
Yeah.
But no, I thoroughly enjoyed this film.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Thoroughly. It's not going to challenge you in terms of knowing your history and whether it's right to blow things up. It's not going to challenge you onto whether you like pink and whether sexism is real or not in a plastic world. It's just a fun movie.
I want you to take notice. I'm about to make a statement that I didn't think I'd ever make.
Ooh.
I have no problem with this film.
Not even Paul Rudd.
No, not even Paul Rudd.
And there you heard it, straight from the horse's mouth.
I think that's it.
Mm?
If you have watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, what did you think? Why not tell us at...
Show?
At...
Staggering...
Stories!
Dot...
Net.
Woo-hoo. You did that the wrong way round!
I know! Mix it up a bit!
Dear listeners, you've been writing to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so kind. Thank you.
We have messed things up a bit by recording the last one before the previous one went out, and it's been 3-odd weeks, so
it's confusing. It all got a little timey-wimey.
It did.
Wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey.
We have written feedback, and we have audio feedback. So first of all, the written feedback from Matt in lovely Torquay.
Torquay with a wildebeest road.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Listeners, hope that you are well. Thought it was about time I dropped you a line.
Ooh, thank you.
I feel the need to comment on the shocking revelation that the new series of Doctor Who will be debuting 2 episodes. Worldwide at the same time, midnight on the Saturday. Mm. I see mostly UK fans of a certain age online tying themselves in knots that it doesn't get a simulcast on the Saturday evening UK time, as has been the usual. Mm. Do you know what? It honestly doesn't worry me at all. Yes.
Talkie is in different time zones. Yeah.
In fact, I think this is a very good thing for our beloved show and will start future-proofing its season debuts as time moves on. Mm. Modern TV has changed. The BBC and Disney are just keeping up with the times. Plus, this will knock overnight viewing figures on the head.
Yeah.
There are also those here in the UK that will watch both episodes at midnight on the day of release. There are others like me that will watch at least the first episode, maybe both, on the Saturday evening, as I usually would. Mm. But what about spoilers? Mm. I hear you, Adam, ask.
Absolutely.
Well, for the day, I will just avoid social media. It's that easy.
Thank you.
You just don't turn your mobile phone on.
How do I turn on my lights and my heating? And
you speak to it.
You have a candle.
Yes. How do I preheat up, more like pre-cooling my
car?
Well,
just don't open Facebook. After the last trailer, though, I'm very excited for this new series. It's on next month.
Yep.
Yeah. Only a few weeks away.
It just looked good. So, what else has been happening? Loved the new Blu-ray box set. The effects upgrade on one of my favourite classic episodes, The Horror Fan Rock, are amazing. I have to agree with that. Mm. Plus, I've recently invested in a decent surround sound system, so was hearing it in glorious and clear surround sound for the first time was fantastic.
Good, yeah.
I'm looking forward to saving the rest of the box set. I did, though, skip forward to the Graham Williams documentary, which was brilliantly done and very moving tribute.
I
have to admit, a lot of people who saw it at the BFI, I didn't, were raving about it as we came in for Horfang Rock. I finished the first series of Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed that Paramount removed it earlier this year with only a few episodes to go for me. But thankfully, it returned recently. Looking forward to Series 2 now.
Mm.
Don't get too invested in that.
Series 2 does exist. I don't think it's shown up on Paramount Plus here.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's doing.
Watching the new Star Trek Discovery tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm quite excited for that. More on that next time.
Excellent. I've heard good things. Mm. Really good things,
At the cinema, I've seen a few recently.
Oh, yeah.
Dune 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. A worthy sequel that I enjoyed the spectacle of.
Yep.
Despite me feeling it was overlong, the third act seemed very rushed, which did disappoint me a bit. Mm. The world building continues to astound, though.
Mm.
Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Not sure why this got such a bad rap from the critics. Maybe they were just being a bit stiffy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it for what it was, a fun nostalgia fest.
Yeah.
Argyle. Enjoyable enough. I find anything with Sam Rockwell in highly watchable.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit too meta, though. Godzilla X Kong.
Right.
Godzilla and Kong sitting on the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Sorry. Christ on a bike. I haven't heard that for years. This was a stinker.
Okay.
We walked out on after an hour or so.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, it's got to be bad if you walk out of the cinema, considering how much it pays. The effects were so poor, it was like watching a poorly rendered cartoon from the 1990s compared to the fantastic Godzilla Minus One, and it looks like it was crafted with crayons. What a charmless mess.
Blimey.
Still no Godzuki, I'm sure.
Top film of the year so far is All of Us Strangers, which completely broke me.
Oh.
It's definitely a genre film of a sort. But I won't give anything away, though, as watching the story unfold is all part of the experience. It's just dropped on Disney Plus, and I heartily recommend it.
Mm.
Anyway, keep staggering, Matt of Torquay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Yes.
I kind of was in mixed theories of Godzilla X Con, because I'm a bit of a sucker for the Godzilla movies. I've
not
to
seen
admit.
It. Yeah,
but
it's on.
I didn't fancy it much from the trailers.
Mm.
Yeah. Come back, Ray Harryhausen, and
all is
forgiven.
Forgiven.
So that is all our written feedback.
Ooh.
El Presidente, I believe we have some audio.
I believe we do. I believe from Catherine.
Ooh.
The Dragon Maker.
Staggerers. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Maya.
Thank you for sharing the Doctor Who news. Yes, I probably heard it elsewhere, but I do enjoy hearing it from y'all. I'm looking forward to the new episodes next month.
Mm.
I'll be working on May 11th, selling my dragons at an art show, but I may have time to watch it on the 10th. Maybe the friends I'll be staying with will be willing to watch it with me. I'm also interested in Star Wars The Acolyte. Although,
yeah.
Up to this point, I've had very little interest in the High Republic era.
Me too, I keep meaning to.
Then again, before and after seeing the prequel movies, I had no interest in that era either. Not until I watched The Bad Batch and The Clone Wars, anyway.
Mm.
Yes, I watched them in that order. Moving on. Dune, Part 2. As I said last time, I was supposed to see it a couple of weeks ago, but other things came up. One of these days. Mm. It's been a while since I saw The Chase, which was during my very much neglected pilgrimage. Good fun, bad accents. Well, bad accent. I'd say Peter Purvis redeemed himself with his portrayal of Stephen, though.
Yeah.
That's it for me, I think. This feedback is actually getting done early for a change, as I'm about to pack up and head to far upstate New York to see the solar eclipse.
Oh, yes.
Here's hoping I don't miss it due to far too many other people doing the same thing.
Good luck.
Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
I hope that went well.
Catherine has just reminded me of something we haven't done.
No.
What was that?
Said hello to
Surfing
Head. Yeah. Various things all together now. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Handles. Hello, Inky McSquirt a lot. Fascist
various
Spock.
Nebulas, yeah. Fascist Churchill, Nazi Spock.
Things.
Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Oh, yes.
Terence,
yes.
Graham.
Grunhilde Knobnacker.
Yeah.
The Orange Glow of Clara.
Ooh, warm your hands.
Oh, yes.
Warm your hands.
Too many things. Too many things.
Right, and given we messed things around so much for recording, we actually have another one from Catherine, the Dragon Maker.
Another one from Catherine.
Yes.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. Hello, Erwin. And hello, Head of Perfect.
She remembers a better week,
too. I know.
Things are gearing up for a busy spring and summer here at Shade Dragon. I have several events upcoming, which will keep the cat fed and the roof over our heads until Renfest rolls around again. Wee! On to feedback.
Okay.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's been a long time since I've seen any of these movies, and honestly, I think I only saw the second one once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of the franchise, but I really should see the more recent films someday.
Oh, definitely. Mm.
It may simply be that Bill Murray does nothing for me, even though he does have some of the best lines in the movies.
Yes.
Supernatural in Doctor Who.
Mm.
I'm sure there are plenty of crossover fix out there, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. The Christmas special last year has already shown that we've kind of moved back into Moffat's The Vast Huffy fairy tale world. I've only seen the episode once, but was there any discussion of goblins and flying ships aren't real? Certainly nothing from the Doctor, who was, admittedly, too busy learning the language of rope. I should have a rewatch, especially before the first episode of the new season airs soon.
Yes.
So, you want a ghost story? I have one.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, coming in.
While I don't really believe in ghosts, there are things I've experienced that I can't entirely explain.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a teenager, my family moved to Norfolk, Virginia. We lived in a few different places in 3 years, and one was an end unit of a block of townhouses built in the 1880s.
Ooh.
The story told was the block was built by a rich man on the other side of a nearby man-made body of water called The Hague, for some reason, built to house his mistresses.
Wow.
Yes, plural. Anyway, before we moved into the house, my mother had described a presence she felt when she went up the back stairs from the kitchen to the second floor. She said it was a welcoming feeling, warm and happy she was there. the first time I was alone in the house. Again, before we'd properly moved in, I used those back stairs. Mm-hmm. When I was about two-thirds of the way up, the door at the bottom slammed shut and scared the ever-loving crap out of me. I ended up with the bedroom at the back of the house, behind those stairs, and was never comfortable or happy in that house. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was only there about 6 months before moving out on my own for the first time. Mm-hmm. One of the neighbors had his own ghost story, which goes back to the origins of the building. Uh-huh. Some nights he could hear bed springs creaking in his attic, and there was nothing up there. I guess with those stories told, it's time for me to wrap up this feedback. Be well, my friends. I look forward to listening to this episode on my drive home from the Celtic Festival. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Postscript.
Oh, yep.
Happy much belated birthday, Fake Keith. Postscript.
Oh, yep.
How am I supposed to make sure y'all have feedback when you record early? Should I send in a generic feedback to keep in reserve? One that says hello to you all and then goes on to say, no, I haven't read, seen, listened to, or otherwise experienced whatever it was you discussed in that episode. Then again, would that really be different from most of my feedbacks?
We'd just like to try and keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A bit more regular.
I shall pass on your greetings to Fake Keith.
Mm-hmm. Who is, of course, dead. We'll be a few hours early next time.
Yeah.
Hours early.
We'll be on the right day, just not the right time. We're going to be in the morning, not the afternoon. So we can go and play Silly Buggers in the afternoon to celebrate El Presidente getting old.
Has bits of him begin to fall off.
Not quite as old as some of the rest of us. But
he's getting to the point where his body goes, you thought that was bad. Hey. Watch this.
Yep, definitely retirement planning phase now.
Ooh.
Okay, lead us out, Quumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Thank God.
But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new. So until that...
Eye for ice.
Baby.
Interesting.
Indigo.
Insulting.
Iguana.
Ignominious.
Indigestion.
Intoxicated.
Comes insinuating.
Illicitly.
Towards us. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body temporarily.
Thank you, Phoebe Spengler.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 444, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Gene Ridler and Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Going to shatter a million little girls' illusions about Ulster. If you can find a backing, sort of backing tape for that. Yeah, like the karaoke version or something.
Get it to line up, I think it's going to be tricky, but...
Just not necessarily.
Just wing it.
Did they actually look for someone whose name was similar to Vashti Narada?
Yeah. Was it 444?
I thought you didn't like the Beautiful South.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you're quoting lines from one of their songs. Mm. For the poor 4-4. Scum, 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 scum. Isn't that right, Bindi Baji?
Feeling.
So I just lost it there for a second.
Very strange.
Which are we doing first? Ghostbusters or Ice?
Baby.
Mm. Baby.
I'm finding this fascinating.
I know. We're being more absorbed by what's going on the telly.
Yeah. Priscilla. Oh, they recently found that.
What's that?
The bus from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. It was rediscovered in an Australian pound lot, broken down. But they're going to restore it.
Good.
It's all shot in the UK as well. Well, not the New York outside bits, but...
I was going to say, they actually look like bits of New York we went to, so are you sure it wasn't built... Remember
the
when
firehouse, the outside of the firehouse was actually in the studio.
But there was a bit where they walk in. I'm sure the pretzel van they passed was the pretzel van where I bought a pretzel before we went into the Central Park. To go and hunt down Amy's rock to lie on.
Boy,
it.
Boy, did he hunt.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, is this where Amy Pond lied? I might just lie here. Will you not do that in public? It's obscene.